Our Bible reading for today comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 36. The Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
This story commands our attention. It has a unique dramatic visual effect, a changed facial appearance, dazzling white clothes, the appearance of two long dead figures, and a voice booming from the clouds. I don't know about you, but this certainly gets my attention. It seems designed to cause us to sit up and to take notice. We know this story as the Transfiguration. It's a strange word. It's not a word that we use every day. We don't hear it in everyday conversation at work or at school. Although it is in the Harry Potter stories. Transfiguration is a family of magical spells used for changing objects from one type of thing into another. And the transfiguration spell turns victims into a toad or a rat. It takes interesting imagination. And so children, adults who've read the books could well have a reasonable understanding of the word. Now, transfiguration is a complete change of a form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. Doesn't quite fit with the Harry Potter spell, does it? Now, if we look for some helpful synonyms for transfiguration, we would find change, alter, modify, vary, redo, reshape, remodel, transform, convert, renew, or my favourite, transmogrify. Great word, isn't it? It's about change. Transfiguration is about change, adaptation, taking on a new shape or size or appearance. And transfiguration is part of the church calendar each year, but it doesn't have the same standing as Christmas or Easter or Pentecost. Why is it recorded in three of the Gospels? Why is it helpful for us today? Now, it'd be easy enough to dismiss this story as hallucination. Most of us don't have experiences like this, and nor did most of the early Christians. Now, our three disciples, our watchers of this event, were, of course, afraid. Although it could be translated as terrified, fearful, or even awestruck. Peter, our impulsive friend, bless him, blurts out the first thing that comes into his head. He babbles, and we can probably all relate to this. I know I can. He seems to be trying to prolong the moment, to hook it into one of the Jewish festivals at the time. And there's a sense of commemorating the moment, reducing it to a photo opportunity or perhaps a Facebook or an Instagram post. Now, no one inventing a tale like this would add this in because it would seem laughable. Any ludicrous claim or story would earn the early Christians ridicule or even physical persecution. The unflattering details of this story, they're falling asleep. Now, they believe this could be Mount Hermon, which is 9,000 feet high or 3,000 metres. Surely they didn't get to the top of that. But I think if they did climb a mountain, even partway, they've got every right to have a sleep. But nevertheless, they're falling asleep, and Peter's outburst, as well as the detail of where it was and when it was, and the detail about what was said between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, suggests that Luke was writing history, not metaphor. The transfiguration is an important thing in the timing of the ministry of Jesus, because it's just after Peter's identification of Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus has foretold his death and resurrection. He's told them he's going to have great suffering and be killed. So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain. Three disciples that were his inner circle, so to speak. And we read that the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two characters from the Old Testament appear, Moses from the beginning of the Old Testament and Elijah, one of the prophets, possibly representing the law and the prophets. Now, I wonder how our three watchers recognize them. I'm thinking perhaps name tags, or perhaps Jesus called them by name, or were they holding something that identified them, so Moses was holding stone tablets with commandments? We're just not told. But somehow they know that it's Moses and Elijah. And Peter does this impulsive outburst thing as he doesn't know what to do, and somehow it was always up to him. He was the spokesperson after all. And then a cloud appears, and it completely covers them. Have you ever been in a cloud on a mountain? The sun goes and all you see is white. It's eerie, damp, cool. You can't see far, and everything you look at is white. We're told that they're terrified or awestruck by it all, understandably, because one minute they're climbing this mountain with their teacher, their rabbi, and the next minute there's all this stuff going on that they just can't explain. And a voice comes from the cloud. "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Except it was most likely in Aramaic, and I can't speak that. You know, a cloud frequently was the symbol of God's presence to protect and guide. Remember the cloud that the Jews followed in the wilderness in the Old Testament? The voice of God identifies Jesus and describes him as chosen, and then listen to him. Now, in the Greek, the verb to listen is akouete. It's derived from the verb to hear, and it's where we get the word acoustic and other words like it. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is a really important point. It's quite exciting. This is in the second person plural present imperative active. How good is that? That's good, isn't it, Adrian? Yeah, thank you. I'm just trying to pick out the people that knew New Testament Greek here. Ian's another one. Also excited. Good, good. Put simply, it's a command in the second person plural. So akouete is "you all listen." It's sort of like the American "you all" sort of thing. Put it together and it's "you all listen to him!" exclamation mark. It's a command. But it's more than this. It's the full sense of this command is to hear and to obey Jesus. The presence of God surrounds them in a cloud. They were fearful, and the voice of God spoke to them, not Moses or Elijah or Egypt or Jesus, but the voice of God. And suddenly, it's all finished. They look around and only Jesus is there. They travel down the mountain together. And the disciples keep this to themselves and don't tell anyone at the time what they'd seen. It sounds wise to me. How would you explain that? How would you explain what you've just seen? So here we see Jesus as a manifestation of God's glory. We see him transformed. The appearance of his face changes. His clothes become bright like lightning. And we see him for who he really is. It's literally a mountaintop experience. But he doesn't stay there. He comes down, back into everyday life. And the next thing he does is to heal a boy who was possessed by an evil spirit. Jesus is no longer there up on the mountain. He's down here in the everydayness of life, healing a boy, showing compassion. You know, I've shared before that I had a cancer journey resulting in surgery in January last year. It was an intense 11-week journey, and we were realistic to all the possibilities, confident that God would be with us in the journey. You know, I have friends with cancer. We have friends with cancer in our midst here now. And I've lost friends to cancer, beautiful people who we've prayed for. And I had to work through, when I was in this, how we would respond to the outcome, whatever it was. If the pathology results were clear, was that an answer to prayer? And if I wasn't clear of cancer, would prayer have been answered? And the answer to both is yes, in the kindness and care expressed to us in the strength and peace that we felt in God. God was so present in this. We felt God's peace surround us, God's love taking away fear. No matter what the journey is like, I knew who I was and whose I was. I'm a child of God and loved by God, with cancer and without. I saw afresh that all people are made in the image of God, and God's kindness is expressed through so many people in so many ways. Words of encouragement and care in calls and texts and posts and hugs and visits and in prayer. We felt carried by the kindness of God as expressed through so many. God was with us in the midst of scariness and pain and fear. We're reminded that God is present in everything, in life and death and in pain and in sickness and in health. And we all need to know that in our everyday lives. God is present in the waiting and in the hoping, in joy and in sorrow and in struggle. Present in every situation. God isn't some faraway being, but God is present with us. And that's a reminder that we see in the story of Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus doesn't stay at the distance, but comes and joins with us in life, in pain, in joy. He's not up on some mountain, but is with us in the midst of life. Whatever it throws our way, Jesus is present with us. God is kind, God is love, and God is hope. And that's what we remember in Lent. Lent starts this Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, and goes through to Easter Saturday. It's 40 days without counting the Sundays. Lent is when we remember the life and ministry of Jesus and renew our commitment to him in Christian discipleship. It's a time to ponder. To ponder the journey of Jesus towards the cross, a time of reflection, an opportunity to reflect on the spiritual priorities in our lives and how this is reflected in all the things that we do. It can be valuable and meaningful to deliberately pause in the midst of today's busy lifestyle to give some time to the spiritual journey towards Easter. This Lent, we can be inspired by this passage. To consider daily the words, listen to him. This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. There are many ways to listen to Jesus. See Jesus in others, expressed in the kindness and care of others, reading the scriptures, reading the Bible, listening to others, sermons, studies, podcasts, books, worshipping God, both here in our everyday life. God speaks to us in worship, in prayer, and in expressing gratitude. We see life differently when we're grateful. Where do you see Jesus in others? I believe this amazing story of the Transfiguration inspires us in our everyday living. We remember Jesus going to the mountain, the disciples having this mountaintop experience. We can relate to that. Don't we have mountaintop experiences? A holiday, a concert, a graduation, a wedding, a family do. And then it's finished and we come back to everyday life. Jesus comes down from the mountain to be with us in struggles and joys, transforming our darkness into hope. There's the reminder that God meets us in our fears. He comes, surrounds, envelops, and speaks to us, leaves us with the words, "Listen to him." You know, Peter wanted to put up shelters, but that's not how God meets us in buildings and special places. God comes to us wherever we are, however we're feeling, even if we're babbling and not making sense. So I wonder if over Lent we can consider this acrostic. Listen to Jesus. There's a lot of noise in our world. Seek the stillness. Stop the noise. Look and listen for him. See Jesus in others. Express gratitude. Practice gratitude. Today I'm grateful for, write it down, God being kind, God being love, God being hope. Thank Jesus for his presence in the midst of all the experiences of our lives, in the joys and in the struggles. And nourish your mind, heart and soul. Turn off the TV. Do less scrolling on our phones. Read the Bible. Pray. Hear the stories of others. And transform darkness into hope. As God transforms our darkness, so we transform darkness for others by kindness, by care, by showing hope where there is despondency, where there is grief and where there is struggle. Listen to Jesus, express gratitude, nourish your mind, heart and soul, and transform darkness into hope this Lent. Jesus doesn't stay at a distance, but came down the mountain and joins us and is with us in life, in pain, in joy. He is in the midst of life. Friends, I invite you to hear the words of God this morning. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this picture. Up there on the mountain, of seeing your glory, of witnessing a miracle, something supernatural, and hearing your voice. Forgive us for our sin, for our pride, when we don't listen to Jesus. When we don't see Jesus in others. We thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross in our place. Lord Jesus, help us to stop the noise and to listen to you, to hear your voice. Help us to love others, to see you in others. And Holy Spirit, bubble up in our lives to be kind, to be loving, to walk with people in their journeys, and to help transform darkness into hope. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.